Welcome to Indians Hot Stove Weekly on WTAM 1100, home of the Indians. Here's your host, Nick Camino.
Yes, it's another action-packed, fun-filled edition of the Indians Hot Stove Weekly show. Glad you could be with us all along the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. The winter meetings coming up. Big trades are happening. Big signings are going down. And when you think about Major League Baseball right now, that stove is heating up. It really is. Right now, it is heating up. And we're going to be with you here for the latest each and every week through spring training right up until opening day. It's our one-hour devotion to baseball each week. We love doing it. Tonight, we've got a lot to dive into, so we'll just get started right now. As always, we're going to have the latest news and notes from around Major League Baseball, certainly with a big-time focus on your Cleveland Indians. The Tribe staying busy, looking at every avenue to try and get better, whether that's within the organization internally or perhaps outside the organization externally. So we'll obviously be keeping tabs on the Tribe, seeing what they're doing, trying to improve this ball club. A big signing today in Major League Baseball. We'll tell you about that. Big trades last week during Thanksgiving week. We've got so much to talk about. Also tonight, Terry Pluto is going to join us. Terry is going to join us here on the show. He's going to tell us about the new book that he wrote with Tom Hamilton. Yeah, they wrote this book together. It's titled Glory Days. It's in stores right now or also available on Amazon.com. Again, it's called Glory Days. We'll talk baseball with Terry Pluto from the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com, award-winning author and columnist. We'll get the lowdown on the book that he did with Hammy, The Voice of Your Cleveland Indians. That'll be exciting. And a little bit later on, we'll give you the lowdown on the renovations going on at Progressive Field. That's a big project still going on despite some of the cold weather that we've had. Spring training tickets are going on sale pretty soon. You can check out the Tribe in spring training for spring training baseball. That's always fun. Indians.com, the place to check that out. Also, Tribe Fest, the annual Winter Fest, is coming up. We'll have details on that and much, much more. Curtis Danberg of the Cleveland Indians will join us a little bit later on to give us the scoop on all that. Keep things locked right here. It's your one-hour baseball fix. Off and rolling. Nick Camino here with you. We'll bring you the latest from around the big leagues and with the Tribe. It's Indians Hot Stove Weekly. Terry Pluto joins us next. We're all along the Cleveland Indians Radio Network.
Total Tribe coverage continues with Indians Hot Stove Weekly on WTAM 1100, home of the Indians. Here again is Nick Camino.
All right, as promised, welcome back into Indians Hot Stove Weekly. Wanted to welcome in Terry Pluto, award-winning columnist and author from the Cleveland Plain Dealer. You can also read him over on Cleveland.com, the author of the new book, Glory Days, that he wrote with Tom Hamilton. Hey, Terry, listen, we really appreciate the time tonight.
I'm glad to do it.
It's always fun catching up with you, and it's always fun when we can talk a little bit of baseball here. First, though, Glory Days, can you tell us about the new book that you wrote with the voice of the Indians, Tom Hamilton? Can you tell us maybe what we can expect when we read it?
Well, I think what we really wanted to do is create the feel of what it was like to be, you know, a Tribe fan in the 90s. And that being just when you walked around, it seemed like everybody was wearing Wahoo red, white, and blue. If you walked into a store at night or just even walked down the street and the windows of the cars were down, you heard the ball game being there. The stadium was sold out. As Tom Hamilton said, it was like a college atmosphere every night you went there. And people were just excited. It's like every game was a big deal and the horns blowing afterwards. And then what all came together to make that so special? And I think now, looking back, we realize how unique it was. I mean, the collection of so many players, Jim Thome, Sandy Alomar, Albert Bell, Manny Ramirez, Kenny Lofton, Oral Hershiser, Dennis Martinez, Eddie Murray, it's phenomenal for those of us who grew up with bad Indians teams to actually think even a few of those players would have showed up in Cleveland, much less so many.
I've read so many of your books, Our Tribe, Dealing, Loose Balls, the Browns book, the things that I've learned from watching the Browns. You've written so many great books. How did you get this idea, though, to do this, Terry?
Well, actually, the publisher, David Gray, had been after me to do a book on the Indians in the 90s for a while because he loved those teams and felt that people would really want to read it. And the idea, I wanted some time to pass. I bet he talked to me about this 5 years ago. And so what happened was I finally thought, okay, I think it's time to do it. Because every time, whether it was Carl Spierger or Lofton or Tomey, whether they came back actually to play for the Indians, and by the way, all three of those guys actually did come back for, we forget that Carlos was with them briefly on a second tour of duty, or just when they come back into town, how they are received. I said, this is just such a great story, and it's time to tell it. And then I was going to just do it myself, but I was thinking, you know, Tom really grew up with this team. He was hired in 1990 and watched the whole thing there. And in many ways, while he keeps giving a lot of credit to Herb's score and everything, and we all love Herb, Tom became the soundtrack of that team, you know, with his home run calls and just the excitement that he brought to it on the air. I mean, for as much as they were a team to watch and so on, they were just a great radio team, too, because of all the excitement.
Boy, this town, the, you know, the city of Cleveland, when you think of some of the play-by-play announcers that it's had, mm-hmm. and you mentioned Tom Hamilton, you did a book, and I know you have a great relationship with Joe Tate. We're pretty lucky in this town, aren't we?
I really think so. And I also think, too, that we are lucky that in the case of Joe Tate, who had a chance to go national, and Tom could have gone in that direction, too, if he wanted to. They elected to stay here. Interestingly, you know, we almost assume they grew up here. You know, Joe grew up in Illinois, Tom grew up in Wisconsin. But they've become like Clevelanders, and, you know, raised families here and everything else. And I think they also recognize that this is a unique sports audience here, that people do embrace their announcers. And, you know, Tom is an excellent storyteller. I remember when I did the book Dealing, I had interviewed Tom, I think, twice for that, and my wife Roberta was doing his tapes, and she said, you know, Tom is so good, you could just almost just take down what he says and put it directly into the book. But I didn't just interview Tom. You know, we talked to probably about 20 of the different managers, coaches, players. A lot of them were coming in and, you know, for different reasons, and I would interview them for like a shorter thing for the paper, and then I would talk to them at length at the same time. I mean, to me, one of the more fascinating stories, Nick, was on Jarrett Wright, like what happened to him. Yeah. And you go back and look at it, at the age of 21, this kid threw, and he was a kid at that time, threw 220 innings.
Yeah, yeah.
And his arm was really never quite the same after that. He had three shoulder surgeries and everything else. But you didn't look at it back then. You were just trying to win a pennant in 97.
Yeah. We're talking with Terry Pluto, award-winning columnist and author. You can read him in the Cleveland Plain Dealer. You can read him over on cleveland.com. He's the author of the new book, Glory Days. You can pick it up. He wrote it with the voice of the Indians, Tom Hamilton. And actually, tomorrow night, Terry Pluto is going to be at the Burton Library starting at 6 o'clock. Him and Tom Hamilton have done a lot of book signings. I know Terry is also going to be on December 9th, he'll be at the Menor Barnes & Noble, and on December 11th, he'll be at the Fairlawn Barnes & Noble. So make sure you go check out Terry.
Right, both of those from 7 to 8. It's just me doing the Burton Library and those two Barnes & Noble. So,
and you'll sign a copy for people? Or you'll sign a copy for...
I am personalizing and signing, and actually at the two Barnes & Nobles, we will have books in advance signed by Tom, so I just have to scroll over it, you know, to, you know, like put... to Nick, I hope somebody reads you this book.
Yeah, my wife will have to read it to me.
Yeah, so
when you think of, and you're very well in tune with some of the great announcers that we've had, and I'm just talking about this because you wrote the book with Tommy Hamilton, but you think of guys like Vin Scully, Ernie Harwell, Marty Brenneman down in Cincinnati still doing it. You think Tom Hamilton's right up there with some of the best?
Right. He is, in our market, he is. He's embraced here. His style is a little different than some of those guys.
Yeah.
For example, now there's some guys you listen to, you just don't know. I never understood why Bob Prince was so loved in Pittsburgh, but he was. I just didn't think he was very good. I mean, you know, Scully is unique and so special. I always liked Ernie Harwell. But, you know, Tom's ability, what I call to play to the moment, you know, the big home run, the big rally. And he learned that, he said, from Herb, and that Herb would say, you know, every game is a separate entity. You know, just because you're 20 games out of 500, you could still have a win a game in extra innings, and it could still be exciting for the people who were there that day.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was, Tom, but it's interestingly, Tom and I both dedicated the book to her independently. We didn't know, both know we were going to do it. We also mentioned some family members and things, too, but we both did because I think, you know, he was around through 97, and I think for a lot of us, too, you know, he was the other voice of sort of like this poor guy enduring all these bad teams for like 30 years.
Hey, Terry, best way, and well, I'm going to talk a little baseball with you, but best way that people can pick up the book, Glory Days.
You know, you can go to the different stores, have them. A way to get signed copies is sent directly to you. Just go to terrypluto.com. Tom and I have signed a whole bunch of copies, and you could order it right from terrypluto.com.
Oh, great.
And, you know,
Amazon.com, right? Amazon.com?
Right, if you're out of town, or barnesandnoble.com, either one. It's out there, and the big thing that's been a nice problem is that the stores have had a hard time keeping it on the shelves. They have to keep ordering it, and I know they'll be glad to print more and all this stuff. So, you know, it's a substantial book. It's like over 100,000 words. Now, it isn't like trying to read Dostoevsky or anything, but you know, it's not just. We really look at a lot of behind the scenes things on different trades and how things happened. And I just think, too, that the feeling of it was just so much fun to recreate Kenny Lofton scoring from second base in that game against Seattle on a wild pitch.
Yeah.
Or Jarrett Wright. I remember I interviewed him in the Indians dugout, and he's like 38 years old. This is before a game. He's sitting there, and he looks out there, and he goes, you know, my last game in the big leagues was here. And I'm like, really? And he had pitched this horrible thing against the Orioles. He was with the Orioles, I think, and he said afterwards, I just came in, his arm was killing him. He goes, I'm done. He was done at like the age of 30.
Wow.
And he was just talking about looking back at things and how he loved coming to Cleveland. And all of these guys, they look back at their career and they just see what a magic time it was. You know, Oral Hershiser said, I'll always be a Dodger. He said, but the three best baseball years I had consecutively were with the Indians.
Yeah, that's, yeah. Hey, you look at his career, you look at, there's a lot of guys like that.
Right. I think he didn't mean numbers-wise, he meant being part of something special.
Gotcha, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he was very good here. But he said the feeling of coming to the park and the magic of what could happen and just the outrageous talent, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Guys just hitting balls, hitting balls through glass windows and, you know, and the Sky Dome in Toronto, and Albert hitting balls into the picnic area. And, you know, they just pounded it. Tommy crushing the ball. You know, whether Manny got picked off second base or not, nobody cared because he'd hit a double the next time up. you know, Hargrove trying to kind of keep a lid on everything because there were some volatile personalities. And then I think the guy who, in my mind, was probably the most popular during that whole time is Omar.
Yeah, sure.
And isn't it funny, too, Nick, all the sluggers and everything else, but yet I really believe Omar is the one that fans identify with the most, you know, the graceful shortstop. And we have a lot of emails from fans in the book, too, and those are cool to read, people's memories of taking their father to the game and
that's great.
That kind of stuff.
That's great. The book is Glory Days. Pick it up. You can check it out to Amazon.com or go to terrypluto.com or maybe your nearest Barnes & Noble. Again, Terry Pluto going to be at the Burton Library tomorrow starting at 6 and December 9th and December 11th. You can check them out at Barnes & Noble's in Mentor on the 9th and Fairlawn on the 11th. The book is Glory Days. Wrote it with Tom Hamilton. They talk about those great years that we all remember. All right, Terry, a little baseball stuff I just want to touch on with you. Indians, they finished third in the AL Central this year, 85-77. We know the year before that they did go to the postseason. Is it fair for us, and I know there were a lot of positives, you look at guys like Brantley and Kluber, and they just re-signed Francona. There's a lot of positives, but is it fair for us to say that the team did kind of take a step back?
I think so, because you would have liked to have seen them get at least closer to 90 wins. And you look at the fact, if you were to chart payroll versus production, it didn't match up.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that because Nick Swisher's hitting, making, they overpaid $14 million a year, that he should hit 40 home runs. But, you know, he didn't even hit his usual 20. I think he hit 6 or whatever before his knees went. And then you look at Bourne battled the hamstrings and all that, and you keep going right down the line. Cabrera at $10 million a year, Masterson at almost $10 million a year. They both end up getting traded because of poor performance. So I think there was a lot of, there guys they were counting on didn't come through. And they really weren't able to – the improvement all came from within. You know, remember the guy they brought in Axford, that didn't work as a closer.
Yeah.
They brought in Murphy, and that was just so-so, I would say. So, yeah, it was somewhat disappointing. I thought, really, Francona, as good as he was as a manager in 2013, he was even better in 14 to
agree.
Win 85 games with that group.
Yeah, agree. I thought it was maybe his best managing job yet, the fact that he had that bunch playing as well as they were.
Well, you know, you think about this, Nick. Nobody even won 10 games other than Kluber.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
No, think about that.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a great point. Terry, final thing before we let you go here.
Mm-hmm.
With the guys they have, though, guys like Kluber, guys like Brantley, they're going to need a bounce-back year from a guy like Kipnis. They're going to have to see what they have with Chisenhall. There are some question marks, but they do have a nice nucleus with some of those starting pitchers. And is there a lot for Tribe fans to be hopeful for moving forward?
Yeah. I mean, I would have loved, frankly, when I was a kid, to have had a roster like this to come watch. Seriously, and that could be you were a kid in the 60s, you were a kid in the 70s, or you were a kid in the 80s. So any of those periods, you would have liked to have had this much promise. Because the big thing, Nick, is the pitching is very, very interesting. And it's not as much proven, as there's still more potential than proven, but you do like the young arms. You know, we are in a period now where nobody hits anymore. I mean, people have to realize that. Carlos, with his, whatever he had, 27 homers, he was 11th in the American League.
Great point, yeah.
So, you know, you have to realize they're going to be lower scoring games, and they have to figure out other ways to win. But I'll tell you this, they have to do something with the defense.
Terry, listen, we really appreciate the time. Glad you could join us to talk about the new book, Glory Days, that you wrote with Tom Hamilton. And always fun to talk a little baseball with you.
Anytime, Nick. Take care.
That's Terry Pluto, award-winning columnist from the Cleveland Plain Dealer. You can also read him over on cleveland.com. Just wrote the new book, Glory Days, with the voice of the Indians, Tom Hamilton. Pick one up. That'll be a fun read. When we come back, we will bring you some news and notes from around Major League Baseball. This is the Indians Hot Stove Weekly Show. Nick Camino with you. You're listening to the Cleveland Indians Radio Network.
A grand slam! How about that? You better believe in miracles. Base hit in the gap, goes all the way to the wall. It's a one-run game. Away back! Gone to the picnic area!
Total Tribe coverage continues with Indians Hot Stove Weekly on WTAM 1100, home of the Indians. Here again is Nick Camino.
All right, just past the halfway point here on Indians Hot Stove Weekly. It's our news and notes portion of the program, one of my favorite segments. We love devoting 1 hour to baseball each and every week, and we love giving you the latest about not only what the Tribe is doing, but what else is going on throughout Major League Baseball. It's been very busy. By the way, special thanks to Terry Pluto, who joined us last segment. Love talking sports with Terry, especially baseball. Award-winning author and columnist from the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. He just wrote a book with Tom Hamilton, Glory Days. It was fun chatting with him about that and about some of the great times that we remember with the Cleveland Indians. Go pick up a copy of that book, Glory Days. News and notes from around Major League Baseball. Boy, a big signing today by the Seattle Mariners. I remember I woke up this morning, I picked up my phone, went to Twitter, see what's going on, right? Already seeing, according to multiple reports, that the Mariners signed Nelson Cruz. Well, right now, I don't know if that signing has become official, but they've agreed to a four-year deal worth a reported $57 million. Seattle's staying busy. I mean, they really are, and they're getting some lineup protection now for Robinson Cano, who's a big piece of what they're trying to do. And last year, if you remember, Cruz with the Baltimore Orioles in one season for just $8 million, that might be the best contract of all time. He leads the majors with 40 home runs. He finished third in the American League with 108 RBIs. That should really help Seattle. And again, some of that power will probably go away, being that, well, not only is he a year older, but the fact that you're going to Safeco Field, which is a pitcher's park, absolutely, and he's leaving Camden Yards, which is a big-time hitter's park. But nevertheless, That should help Seattle. The Mariners trying to spend some money, trying to stay up there with the Angels and the Athletics. So those the reports that Nelson Cruz, that signing, that surfaced this morning. But he is going to be joining the Seattle Mariners. Also today, the Pittsburgh Pirates traded for Tampa Bay Rays utility man Sean Rodriguez. He's done a nice job with them. That trade was for a player to be named later and cash. By the way, the remember, speaking of cash, Kevin Cash, the Indians bullpen coach, was a candidate to be the Tampa Bay Rays manager. They have not yet hired their manager. I know the finalists was they were down to three finalists, and it was Kevin Cash, the Indians bullpen coach, Don Wakamatsu, the Kansas City Royals bench coach, who was a former manager with the Seattle Mariners, and Raul Ibanez, who was still a player. I didn't even know if he had completely retired yet, but Raul Ibanez. So they had the three finalists. We have not heard if they have made an official hiring as their next manager. The last couple of days, we've been really busy around Major League Baseball. The Arizona Diamondbacks, they signed Cuban slugger Yasmani Tomas. Now, when you think of the Cuban players coming out of Cuba that have been good, that's where you kind of begin to realize why the Arizona Diamondbacks paid nearly $70 million for this guy. Again, his name is Yasmani Tomas. I feel like we were having the same conversation when Jose Abreu was signed by the Chicago White Sox. It was a guy who just tore it up in the World Baseball Classic. We knew he was going to be good, and oh, look, he finishes with the AL Rookie of the Year award honors unanimously. Just a tremendous player. When you think of the Cuban players that have come out, Yoni Cespedes, Jose Abreu, these guys can really play. They really can. So Yasmani Tomas, the latest signing from Cuba, I'm sure we'll be hearing a lot about him with the Arizona Diamondbacks. Also, how about the trade that went down the day after Thanksgiving? Billy Beane, the Oakland Athletics general manager, pulling the trigger on this. The Oakland Athletics trading all-star third baseman Josh Donaldson to the Toronto Blue Jays. Boy, the Blue Jays doing some things this offseason. You wonder where that's going to put them in what appears to be a wide-open American League East division. I know you got the Red Sox and the Orioles, but after that, it's pretty wide open. Some uncertainty with the Tampa Bay Rays, some uncertainty for the first time in a long time with the New York Yankees. Just a few weeks ago, we saw the Blue Jays sign Russell Martin. So they're trying to do some things. In return, the Oakland Athletics getting third baseman Brett Lowry, along with lefty Sean Nolan, right-hander Kendall Graveman, and minor league shortstop Franklin Barreto. So that was a big deal. It stunned Athletics fans. I know it stunned Josh Donaldson and a lot of his Athletics teammates. Sometimes we question what the heck Beane is doing, but sometimes he appears to maybe have an idea of what they're doing more so than we do, as he should. If you haven't heard by now, the Boston Red Sox continuing their impressive roster additions. They were impressive during last season when they were out of things. They were adding guys like Cespedes. And now during the offseason, they're really stealing a lot of the headlines. The Boston Red Sox signing both Pablo Sandoval and Hanley Ramirez, both big additions to that lineup. They may have some big trade pieces now that they could really be looking at shifting and moving because they are packed with some talent. And the Kansas City Royals, they signed right-hander Jason Frazier. That's an agreement worth $1.8 million. Right-hander going to be able to help them a little bit. Some popular free agents still meeting with teams. One of them, lefty John Lester, reportedly meeting with the San Francisco Giants just today. That's some of the news and notes from around Major League Baseball. As for the Indians, not too much around the Thanksgiving holiday. But you know they'll be looking at every opportunity to try and improve the team, whether that's internally or externally, minor league guys, trades, potential free agent signings. Chris Antonetti and that front office are going to be busy. The winter meetings are coming up shortly, so hopefully they'll be busy there. The bottom line is the team does need to improve. I think that we can agree with that. I think that the Indians know that. We talked about that with Terry Pluto. They did, in a way, even though they have a nice core nucleus of talent. We saw some positives with guys like Kluber and Brantley, and we have Francona in the fold here for a while now. We know that with his contract extension. The bottom line is, though, the team did take a step back. They took a step back last season. They didn't make the playoffs, and the team made the playoffs the year before, and they didn't finish with as many wins. So they need to get better, and hopefully they'll be looking at every opportunity to try and do that, both internally and externally. All right, what we're going to do is take a quick timeout. When we come back, we're going to catch up with Indians Senior Director of Communications, Curtis Danberg. He's going to join us before we wrap things up for the night. He's going to give us the latest on Tribe Fest, the ongoing construction and renovations going down that are going on right now at Progressive Field. A lot more, some great values on tickets, both for spring training and the upcoming 2015 season. Keep things locked right here. It is Indians Hot Stove Weekly. I almost said Indians Spring Training Weekly. We know that'll be coming up soon, too. Spring training right around the corner. Keep things locked right here. You're listening to Indians Hot Stove Weekly. Nick Cimino here with you all along the Cleveland Indians Radio Network.
Total Tribe coverage continues with Indians Hot Stove Weekly on WTAM 1100, home of the Indians. Here again is Nick Cimino.
All right, before we get out of here for the night, our final segment here on Indians Hot Stove Weekly, want to welcome in Curtis Danberg, Senior Director of Communications for the Cleveland Indians. Love when we can catch up with him. Hey, Curtis, listen, we really appreciate the time tonight.
Hey, always a pleasure.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun with this, and you know, one of the things we've been hitting on, because it is coming up before you know it, will be Tribe Fest, your guys' annual Winter Fest down at Progressive Field. We know the dates, January 24th, that's a Saturday, and January 25th, that's a Sunday. Curtis, I know tickets have already gone on sale, but people still have a great opportunity to get tickets and still have an opportunity to be a part of all the fun, right?
They do, and ticket sales have been very brisk, which is a great sign. As you mentioned, we have two sessions on that Saturday, January 24th, a 10 to 2 p.m. session, and a 4 to 8 p.m. on that Saturday, and then on Sunday from 10 to 3. Tickets for adults are only $10, and you can bring up to two kids per paying adult free. So great opportunity. It's a little bit, kids are $5 if you come at the gate, but we recommend to buy your tickets in advance, as well as you have an opportunity purchasing tickets for autograph sessions as well.
Yeah, Indians.com, your best chance to do that. Also, if people can people purchase that by phone, 216-420-HITS or no?
No, best to go on Indians.com.
Okay, Indians.com.
Online only.
Online only. That's the best opportunity for you to be a part of Tribe Fest. Again, as Curtis mentioned, it's January 24th and 25th, a Saturday and Sunday. I remember a big snowstorm last year, Curtis, but there's still a great turnout. So hopefully Mother Nature can cooperate so we can get even more people down there for all the fun.
Yeah, we're due for good weather. And another cool little anecdote for parking, because on Saturday the Monsters are home, and on Sundays that game against the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Oh, that's right. The Cavs are playing.
Sunday,
okay.
The 25th. So we are selling a limited number of parking spots for only $3. So that's a great opportunity. Another reason to buy in advance so you can get your parking guaranteed as well.
Oh, that's great. That's great. All right. We're talking with Curtis Danberg, Senior Director of Communications for the Cleveland Indians. It's been a busy winter, I know, for you guys, and I want to get into some spring training stuff and season ticket opportunities, but the renovations at Progressive Field still coming along. How's it look down there?
Come along well. Those guys out there and gals are out there working hard, and you know, obviously it's been a little cold lately, but they're still pounding the pavement, making it happen. They framed out the bullpens now, so they're starting to kind of see how the bullpens are going to look in dead center field. If you haven't jumped on Indians.com, we actually have a live video cam. You can check it out during the day, during daylight. We also have some other videos you can see of the progress. So it's been fun to see it evolve, and a lot more work to be had, but we're making a considerable amount of progress.
Yeah, I was just going to say, is everything kind of on time? People probably thinking about opening day, and they're like, is this thing going to be done?
All intentions is for it to be done by opening day, but you know, you never know what's in store for Cleveland weather, but we're thinking positive thoughts.
Absolutely. Yeah, go check out the renovations. They got those cameras up at Indians.com. That's fun to watch. You can kind of watch that. You can watch it be revamped and everything. The renovations that are going on, you can watch it live over at Indians.com. They got a stream going on there. That's good to hear that the bullpens are coming along, and it's gonna look great next year. All right, spring training tickets. This is a pretty cool opportunity, and these are going to be going on sale. The schedule already released for spring training, so we know where the Tribe is going to be in the Arizona desert on different dates, whether it's at Goodyear Ballpark or any of the near surrounding ballparks. But Curtis, those tickets are going to go on sale pretty soon, right?
Yes, they go on sale at 10 a.m. Mountain Standard Time, so that would make it noon Eastern here this coming Saturday, December 6th. So important for you to secure your tickets. Come out there. Our first game is March 3rd. We open three games against the Reds, 3rd, 4th, and 5th. In fact, the 3rd will be live on WTAM. So be sure to tune in if you can't make it out to Goodyear, Arizona. But and then our final game is March 4th before we head to Houston to get ready for the opener. April 4th, excuse me. Before we get ready for the opener in Houston. So exciting that we're already talking Goodyear spring training baseball. And this Saturday at noon, 10 a.m. Mountain, noon Eastern, make sure to go and purchase your tickets.
And Curtis, you and I, we've been out there a ton. I always try and tell fans, if they haven't had an opportunity to go out to spring training yet, you got to do yourself a favor and do it. Not only is Goodyear Ballpark a great place to be at and the Indians Player Development Complex, but it's pretty neat that all those surrounding ballparks too are close. That really gives fans a great opportunity to see. Even you're going on the road, but not really. The places, all the ballparks are pretty close down there.
Yeah, I think it's that. So it's the proximity of locations. So you can come out and be able to see the Indians every day and not travel more than 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is just that intimate experience. I mean, the fans are so close to the players, they can come over to our complex and kind of see them take BP and then head over to the ballpark. It is a great way, especially that time of year, to get away and escape Cleveland weather. It's pretty much a win-win.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking with Curtis Danberg, Senior Director of Communications for the Cleveland Indians, who joins us just a little bit longer here on Indians Hot Stove Weekly. And boy, Curtis, I love when we break this down, because it's true. When we talk about getting the best value for tickets and the best opportunities to get all the perks and everything that goes along with being an Indians season ticket holder, that's your best bet, right? If you want the best value on these games that'll be coming up in the 2015 season tickets, getting the group back together, that's the way to go, right?
That is the way to go, and it's best value and best seat location. So pretty much a great combination there. And the best thing, we understand it's hard for you to get an 81-game plan and come to all 81 games. It's not realistic. So get a group together. Get your neighbors together. This way you can maximize the savings. And you have access to not only pricing for great seats, but you also have access to some private events. We do a big event in the middle of the summer here at the ballpark where you can see the players. We're going to do the Friday night before Tribe Fest here at the ballpark. We're going to do an event just for season ticket holders. So,
oh, great.
Again, it's a very special experience to be a season ticket holder, and we certainly appreciate all their support and hoping we can get some more groups in place.
Yeah, that's your best way to go. Go to Indians.com. Check that out if you want to purchase season ticket packages or 216-420-HITS. Great opportunities for you to do that. Hey, Curtis, listen, we really appreciate the time. It's always fun catching up with you. I can't believe that we're already talking about spring training and things like that. It'll be here before you know it, and we'll talk to you down the road.
You got it. Hot Stove Weekly. It's going to even burn up more next week with the winter meeting. So
that's right. That's right. That's right. It's gonna be getting hotter in here. Maybe we got a little clue there on what'll be going on.
You never can tell what's going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Curtis, thanks. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, go Tribe.
That's Curtis Danberg of the Cleveland Indians, Senior Director of Communications. Always fun to catch up with someone in the Tribe PR to kind of give us a little idea of what's going on with the Indians, what they've got cooking up this offseason. It's been busy for them already, and as Curtis mentioned, as those winter meetings ramp up, maybe they'll be getting even a little bit more busy. So we'll find out on all of that. All right, that's going to do it for us and this edition of Indians Hot Stove Weekly. It's always fun being with you all along the Cleveland Indians radio network. We'll be with you next week. A lot of these same radio stations, a lot of these same places. Listen, have a great rest of your night, a great rest of your week, and stay safe out there.
Indian Fever, you can be part of the fun. You're the winner at every game.
This ball is way back there, way back there. Raise that baby, bye-bye.
Swing and a long drive, deep right field. Forget about it. Going, going, gone, goodbye.
Hey, get up. Get out of here. Gone.
Adios, Pelota. A swing into the mist.